Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy love, Thy kindness. We thank You that You have so many great things for us. But Father, as You've heard, there's a lot of concerns here for our loved ones and our friends, that You might be able to help us, help them. And we're just praying that You would see the grace and the place where You could do the request that we've asked. Father, we're not sure exactly what we need to pray for, but we know that You know, and in that, we're trusting You. We're trusting that You know what is best for these people and that would make them understand the work of Your Son at Calvary's cross. For we ask it in Christ's name and in His special blood. Amen. All right. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to kind of pick up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the church mission is laid out here pretty well. And I want to talk to you about the church mission and what our object is to do. In verse 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation." Reconciliation is a bridge. God the Father and us. There was a gap, if you will, between us. Not because God wanted the gap, but because we were sinners and God can't be with sinners. His righteousness won't let Him be that with sin. And so God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to abridge us, to reconcile. That doesn't mean everybody is going to be reconciled. But here's the deal. Everybody's sin, from the moment it happened on the Lord Jesus Christ at that cross on Calvary, and I'm going to put that right here. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, He died for all sin. There isn't a single person in Montgomery, Alabama, listen to me very carefully. There is not a single person in Montgomery, Alabama, nor had there ever been, that God didn't die for their sin. Now, the religious system, this is what they try to tell you, and you listen to me very, very carefully. They say, well, if you confess your sins, God's going to forgive them, as in 1 John 1:9. And the problem with 1 John 1:9 is really that only puts you into that church, which is the kingdom back here, by the way. It's like you confess your sins, but from here you've got to live it. You understand? 1 John 1:9 isn't like you get a free pass. Well, that isn't the message of 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5's message is just like in Ephesians, just like anywhere else. God's paid for your sin. How did He do that? He made His Son to be sin for you. And then 2 Corinthians 5:1, we're supposed to be going around telling people about reconciliation. Your ministry is reconciliation. Your ministry is to understand how to reconcile people back. Number one, I want you to understand they don't even know they're lost. So to be reconciled back, what would be the first thing you need to do to show them? That they're lost, that they need to be reconciled back. Well, go to Romans chapter 5. And to show people that they need a Savior, you've got to use it all. I mean, listen, in Romans chapter 5, it's pretty clear. In Romans chapter 5, I want you to read with me in verse 10. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were... Well, see, enemies would need to be reconciled. Yeah, there'd be a reason or a need for reconciliation. If you were an enemy, you would want to be brought back. You see what I'm saying? There'd be an opposition between you and God. So how did God do it? Watch verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, how? That's clear, isn't it? We were reconciled, the word reconciled again, by the death of His Son. You are not reconciled by you walking the aisle. You're not reconciled by your confession. You're not reconciled by all that you do. You're reconciled by the death of His Son. You see, what made that bridgment wasn't you getting down on your knees and blowing snot at an old-fashioned altar and crying out to God, hey, God, forgive me. God had already forgiven you. You see, the problem in grace is people want to mix the law and the grace together. You can't do that. Grab two passages. Go to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to teach you how to rightly divide the word. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Well, just grab anything you want. And 1 John. I don't think it's Thessalonians I want. I'm working on it, though, while I'm up here thinking. Go to Colossians. See, I told you I didn't think. Go to Colossians chapter 2 and 1 John. You can not do these two passages at the exact same time. Now watch this. 1 John, y'all there in 1 John? 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there's a couple things that's very interesting about this passage. Maybe you'll find it interesting too. Notice, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Well, when do you think they think that's going to happen? Here's a hint. Zechariah, I would get my Bible pen out, and I'd put 13 verse 1. You got it? And that day, this is what it says. There should be a fountain open. Has anybody heard that song? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Okay, am I the only one that's ever heard that? That song isn't about you. That is that God is going to open a fountain for the inhabitants of Jerusalem and for the sons of David. Well, we might as well turn back there. I can see you guys are looking at me like I'm crazy as a bitsy bug. That's okay. I know where it is. Go to Matthew and back up. Two books. Malachi, Zechariah. Go to Zechariah 13. You'll want to write it there too. And it's 1 John 1:9. He says, in that day there should be a fountain open for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for what? Uncleanness. You see that? There is going to be a fountain open for what nation?
Israel.
But go back to 1 John 1:9. Watch this. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you've got it where it's going to happen. Zechariah 13, verse 1. You need to write that in there at 1 John 1:9. Last part. Take time, write it in. Make you look smart one day. Zechariah 13, verse 1. Now watch. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Still yet to be forgiven in the future, right? I would also put, if I had my Bible pen out, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. You know what it says? Yes. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You hear the term maybe? Well, that ain't the message of reconciliation. That ain't the message. Acts 3:19. Acts 3:19, repent, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Well, that's not reconciliation. Reconciliation is going to come when they're blotted out, amen? But look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Watch this now. Reconciliation. God has reconciled. You know what? He's taken enemies and reconciled them to God. In Colossians chapter 2, look if you will, in verse 13. And you, that's you in this room, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Are you going to be forgiven? You've already been forgiven. You know what the problem is? People don't know it. They don't know it. They're thinking, man, I need to say my little prayers every night before I go to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord, my... If I shall... Yeah, that little thing. We teach our kids... Hey, listen, you need to teach your kids that Christ died for their sins. Done. Already done. God, huh? Who taught us that? Yeah. Here's a hint. Satan. You know, I mean, we have made the kids the most narcissistic kids in the world, haven't we? Their whole life centers around them. Well, that's the dumbest thing. I hate to tell you, but the whole life centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Look at how this works together. I hope you guys up in Kentucky are making great notes. This will make some great logons to this page. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. Doing what? Reconciling the world on himself. Everybody help me. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of what? Hey, God had already had a plan before the foundation of the world, before it ever got started in eternity past. Before it ever got started. Before he ever spoke the world into existence, he had a plan for your salvation. And he had a means that anybody in Montgomery, Alabama, doesn't matter what race they are, how big they are, how skinny they are, how tall, how short. It doesn't matter where their walk of life. Listen, Jesus Christ had a plan. You know what the plan was? That he'd make his son to be sin for you who knew no sin. You know, this wasn't something that he thought about. Oh, my goodness. Do you realize the fall of Adam, the fall of Israel, all the things that happened in between those two things was done so that he could save you in this room? And my job as a pastor is to bring sure that there is reconciliation. People say, why they got so fired up? Because the people up in Kentucky got fired up because they were so far out lost in the field. And when they finally heard that they'd been reconciled to God, it was good news. Before it ever happened, way back here, God had a plan. And you know what he said? He's not imputing your trespasses on you. You know why he's not been imputing trespasses? I believe, listen to me very careful, this is very important terminology. I believe in universal reconciliation. But I do not believe in universal salvation. Let me say that again so you understand that very clearly. This is a very important distinction. I believe the Pauline epistles teach universal reconciliation. It doesn't matter, listen to me very carefully. It does not matter if you are a whore. It doesn't matter if you're a drug addict. It does not matter if you're an alcoholic. By the way, I am a druggie and an alcoholic. Y'all understand? What? Why?
She said why.
Was. No, you're always an alcoholic once you are one. Listen to me. Listen to me. Snorted more cocaine than probably most of you in this room. I'm not any good. I'm not worth the gunpowder to blow me into hell. Are you listening to me? There isn't any value in me. I look in the mirror and I know that now. Before I got saved, I didn't know that. I thought God was going to be so proud of me and put my good on one side and bad on the other and weigh it out. I believe that with all my heart. But that ain't true. The reason I'm safe is God's not imputing our trespasses onto me. And on the 24th of August, listen to me very carefully. Hey, listen, ain't no... People say, I don't remember the date. I don't remember this or that. Listen, let me tell you what. We've had that conversation a few times in this church. You're telling me you can't remember when you went from darkness onto life? From thinking you had to confess your sins to believing that your sins had already been forgiven? You're telling me that day doesn't recall anything? When was there a day? Here's the calendar. It has to happen. There's a calendar somewhere, and you mark a day. And you say, well, I don't remember the D-A-T-E. I'm not asking you to remember the D-A-T-E. Some of y'all can't remember the moment you got married. I mean the date. I know because your wedding anniversary comes and you forgot to get the gift. And you panic. But if I gave you $1 million, do you think you would remember that day? Huh? How many in here think they would remember that day? Would you be able to testify to it? Huh? For about a month, you said? You'd be broke again. All right, I gave you $10 million. That'd be hard to spend in a month. Would you remember it? You would remember it, wouldn't you? And you'd say, you wouldn't say, well, I got this $1 million when I was 18. And then I got it again when I was 33. People go, you're crazy. You see, that's crazy. That's crazy. That doesn't even make sense. So you get eternal life. Biggest thing ever happened in my life. And you can't remember the day? Then you may be lost. Here's the good news. He's already paid for them all. They're done. Nothing you are going to do will change that fact. So how many has he reconciled? Everybody's been reconciled. All sinners have been now reconciled to God. Does that mean that all sinners are saved? No. You know why? You have to apply that to you. You have to receive it for you. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 5. You have to receive it as yours. It reminds me of a thing Brother Moore gave an illustration of two guys sitting in prison, and they're both guilty. And they're guilty of murder. I mean, flat out, guilty, guilty, guilty. And they hear the guy come down, his footsteps. See, that's real nice sound effects on them. Isn't that? Can you hear that? You know? And you hear the keys? And he's letting one of the guys out and says, well, hold it, he's guilty of murder. Why are you letting him out? He said, well, he had someone stand in his place. It was a lawyer. Well, but he's as guilty as me. The guy pulls out the card and all the information and says, here, why don't you give him a call? So the guy walks around and for 3 weeks he's sitting in his little 9x12. Notice how short it is. I'm trying to give you a hint not to go there. You know? You don't think it's this short? I've been in one, brother. It's this short. Ain't that right? Jeff, you've been in one too, haven't you? William, you ever been in one?
Yeah, but mine wasn't that long.
Oh, you were in solitary confinement, I can tell.
Temporary
confinement. Oh, yeah, no, trust me, they should have kept you locked up. And I'm walking back and forth, and all of a sudden, I'm excited because I hear the feet coming. It's my execution day, and I hear the... But this guy's wearing a hood. I said, hold it. You can't do this to me. I've got Jesus Christ. Here's his card. Yeah, but when was there a time that you called upon him for you? You see, you can know all about Jesus Christ. You can know all about the Bible and end up in hell. And knowing all about the Bible doesn't save you. Having a Savior will save you. And so he'd never been reconciled. You know why? Jesus Christ didn't know him. But you know what? God can't say that to me. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy. Look at this. God can't say that to me. He knows me. Look, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Y'all there? I'm glad you're with me. Aren't you glad you're here today? I'm glad you're here too. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are what?
His.
Boy, that's important, isn't it? Lord knows me. He knows that I trusted him. He knows that I put my faith in what his son's faith is in, the faith of Christ. He knows that. You know what? It ain't true of everybody. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 7. Look at the comparison. Matthew 7. Now watch this. Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me this day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works. And I thought about some of the guys that are bragging about their works on Facebook. Right. Well, haven't we done all these great works for you? And he'll say to them, listen to this, and then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Right. Boy, I don't want to be in that crowd, amen? Hey, I don't want to be one that sits there and wonders what's happening. Listen, God knows me personally. God knows me personally. Isn't that fantastic? That's fantastic. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at it again. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world on himself, not imputing their trespasses onto them. Is God imputing your trespasses onto you?
Sure.
You know what that is? That's grace.
Amen.
You deserve it, don't you? He ought to add them all up and blast us all to hell. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what? Grace entered in, and God's not imputing your trespasses. You know why? He imputed it to his son. And that was the ministry from Paul, from the very get-go of Paul's ministry, all the way from the time he got saved, all the way until the rapture. What's the message? Right there. It's reconciliation. It didn't matter if you were in Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then later in Ephesians. It doesn't matter. The ministry is reconciliation. What is the ministry? That God Almighty died for all sins. How about if you're that whore? He died for that. How about if you're a little liar? You know, how many here are liars? Raise your hand. I love lying. It's amazing. It's so easy. You know, you can just get away with it like that. Have you ever noticed? I'll be there in 5 minutes. I know that's a lie when I say that. And you know what? The daggum people accept it. Okay. I've had people literally say, you know what? I'm going to show up at church. Oh, yeah. Hey, someone said, are you the kind of church that if I join that I can get married at and get buried at? I said, yeah. Oh, okay, I'm interested in then. I'll come those two times. Terrible. You know, people are liars. Don't you love lying? You know, on the internet, I'm 6'7" and full of muscles. In real life, that's probably not true. You know, I don't understand internet dating anyway. I don't. They're all liars, you know. And when you get with them in real person, this is what you do. You know what I mean? Amen. I don't know that I'm married happily, by the way. I told someone the other day that everybody in the church has been divorced. Except Brenda and I, we're on the rocks.
Yeah.
I'm joking. Guys, listen to me. Lying is easy, isn't it? Amazing? Oh, I'll never lie. You only lie when it's convenient. And then it's always, I don't understand how racism gets into our lies. A white lie is little bitty. And the black lie is big. Well, I think it ought to be the opposite. I'm here pleading for all opposite that the white lie is the big lie. Okay, that was supposed to be a little humor. Isn't that ridiculous? But, I mean, there is no big white lie and little lie. I mean, you know, there's none of that. You know what it is? It's a lie. We teach our kids to lie. We're on the phone. We don't think they're hearing. We're making a lie just sure enough, and our kids are hearing us, and we're wondering where we... And, you know, while I'm on the lying thing, don't get mad at me. You promise? This happens every year. And that's why I'm doing it in June and July this year. Santa Claus is not real.
Yes, he is.
Listen to me. It's a lie. You know, oh, we're going to teach our kids Christian principles.
Right.
He's going to come down the chimney. That's a lie! I didn't even have a chimney 1 year and he came. How's that possible? It kind of reminds me of that insurance commercial where the guy pulls everybody in for dental. They're all going to save him $500. He says, now, will someone tell me how that's possible?
Right.
And how does he get around to all the little girls and boys? It's a lie. So we wonder where our kids learn it. And then that dadgum story about the Easter bunny. I don't understand the correlation between bunnies and eggs yet. Will someone help me with that?
Bunnies do not lay eggs. Chickens.
Oh, thank you. I didn't understand that stupid stuff. Hey, listen, I love gifts, but you know what? Santa Claus didn't bring them. And we wonder where our kids learn to lie. Amen? You know, one lie after another. Just keep lying to them. You lie in your taxes. I know that for a fact. Amen? You manipulate it down to where you don't pay Uncle Sam hardly anything.
That's right.
Oh, where's that other receipt? I'm going to go get an extra receipt. Liar. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to be reconciled. Amen.
Amen.
We're liars. It's amazing. And look what he says in verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. What? Everybody. Be ye reconciled to God. Hey, God's not mad at you. Reconciliation is the theme of the order today. I'm trying to tell you, God has reconciled you. You know what? You can bend it out. You can go do works. You can do all kinds of things. But it doesn't change the fact that God has reconciled you. to himself.
That's right.
How did he do it? Verse 21. For he had made him, that is God had made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. By the way, did you ever wonder why Jesus Christ died? Jesus Christ died, listen to me very carefully, this is very, 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 very important. Jesus Christ died because he was a sinner. How do I know that? The wages of sin is death. Now here's the dealy-wheelie though. It wasn't his sin. He knew no sin. See, that's what the verse is saying. For he hath made him to be sin for us, everybody. He didn't go out and commit sin. So where did he get the sin from? From us. The fact that that man died proves to me that he became a sinner. Reconciliation. You know what he did? He took your sin and made himself to be sin for you in the God form and was born of a virgin, came into this world and got hung on a tree so that you could be reconciled back to God and no longer enemies. Man, that's good news. Because you know where I was? I wasn't one of those good people. I was one of those enemies. I was running away from God faster than I can run away from myself. God made his son to be sin for. He knew no sin. But he must have had sin. Why? He died. Go to Psalms 22. David, have I been okay so far? Where did I tell you to go? Okay, that's good. Go to Psalms 22. Ooh. No, it had food on it. I'm dripping. Well, what are you doing when you're eating?
I'm not reading the Bible. I've already got grape jelly on one of my Bibles. So
yeah, man, that's the best. I have found that licking grape jelly off of a used Bible is just about as good as it gets. In Psalms 22, now watch this. Verse 1. My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me? Huh? Jesus Christ, a God-forsaken man? You know what Jesus Christ became on that cross? You. You know what you were? A God-forsaken man. When he's screaming that on the cross, he's screaming it in your behalf. Wow. Wow. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? You know why? Because your filthy, rotten sin was upon him. And from the words of my roaring, oh my God, I cry to thee in daytime, but thou hearest not. Can you imagine his son crying out to him and God turning an ear away from Jesus? You know why? It's because of you. You want to know why he did it? Because of you. And in the night season, I'm not silent. But then he turns around and says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I'm a worm and no man. Jesus Christ wasn't anything. He'd become what you were. You know what I am? I'm a worm. I am not worth the gunpowder to blow me into hell. Are you listening to me? That's what the Lord had become. I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. And all that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lips and they shake their heads saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, he, seeing that he delighteth in him. Boy, can you imagine such mockery? And you know what? He had the right to just blast. He could have told those people, just go to hell and it would have happened. But he had restrained himself. You know why? Because he was reconciling a group of people together unto himself. Wow. That's amazing. He said in verse 9, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb, and didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my belly, a mother's belly. Be not far from me. For trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have besought me round." All the people that were around him were filled with the demons and the demoniac spirits of the bulls of Bashan and were sitting there looking at him, gnarling at him, gnashing upon their teeth at him. You know why he didn't stop it? Because he was reconciling you unto himself. Couldn't stop it. Saw those bulls, probably didn't want. They gap upon me with their mouths, and as a raving and roaring lion, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. You know how many joints or bones are in the human body? 206. He said, all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. This is what was on his mind while he was on the cross, while he was dying for you, while you were sitting there in your pitiful, filthy thoughts and your adulterous ways and your evil lying and your cheating and all the things that you are, your racism, your whatever. All of it. All the filth that you really are. This is what was going through the Lord while he was dying for your sins. Ought to make us put it all down. Amen?
Amen.
Let it just come out of it. And you know what? Ain't none good. No, not one. He said, my heart is like waxed. It melts in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like pot shears. My tongue cleaves to my jaw. Thou hast brought me into the dust of the earth. Dust of death, thank you. For the dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. You feel all alone? You feel like everything, hell's breaking loose? The Lord knows what you feel like. They pierced my hands and my feet. That's how you know it's the Lord. And I tell all my bones, and they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots on my vestures. And you know why he did it all? You want to know why he did it all? He wanted you to know that you didn't have anything to worry about, that he paid for all your sins. And you know what? You can convince me of all kinds of things. You don't have to convince me of anything. You realize sitting here right now, right here, right where we speak, right where we're talking, right now, you know in your mind whether you're lost or you're saved. Right now, you know. Nothing's going to change after my words that I've spoken. He's already paid for all your sins. That's not in question. There is universal reconciliation. Christ died for all your sins. But when did you receive that fact for your salvation? I did an illustration that a lot of y'all remember. It's about the wheelbarrow. And the guy pulls a cable across the Grand Canyon, and he calls everybody and tells them to show up, and they show up. And he walks out there, and he gets out there, and everybody's screaming. Go ahead and scream a little. Yeah. And he backs up, and he says, well, how many here believe I can do it? Yeah. How many believe it? And get in the wheelbarrow. I want to know when you finally got in the wheelbarrow.
That's right.
Not good enough just to know that he can do it. When did you make your salvation dependent upon it? That's the question. See, God's done everything humanly possible for your salvation. And you know what he wants to do? There's one thing you need to complete the deal. You know what it is? Does anybody here know what you need? Here it is. Righteousness. Sin's all been paid for. Gone. No sin over here. But you need the righteousness. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. You need righteousness. That's the whole thing. That's the thing in Ephesians he talks about. You need righteousness. Well, look at the good news. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no what? He did know some sin, but he didn't know it in doing it. He took it on. You know whose sin he took on? Mine. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what you need. So when was there a day that you became the righteousness of God? That's the question. And if you gain the righteousness of God, you're telling me you can't remember a day that you became as righteous as Almighty God? Okay, that when I go up, I kind of expect a kind of somewhat reaction there a little bit. You understand? God gives you, as a gift, his righteousness. All you have to do is receive it. Now, I don't owe you anything, do I? Huh? I don't owe you a dollar, do I? So if I gave you this dollar represents eternal life. This dollar represents a gift. And if I offer it to Judy and say, would you take this dollar? It's a gift. I want to give this gift to you. What'd you just do? You received it, didn't you? That's exactly the same way salvation is. See, it's been offered to everybody. I mean, everybody. I'm out there telling people all the time, listen, God's not mad at you. God's forgiven you at the cross. It's done. But that alone isn't enough information to save anybody. There has to be a day in which you receive it. I need this. It's mine. And you claim it. Whose dollar is it now? Why? She received it. That illustration is exactly what reconciliation is all about. It's been paid for. Been paid for 2,000 years ago. She may or may not have ever heard that. I don't know. I don't even know this lady except I met her once picking up her son. I nearly fell in love with her there and I'm starting to like her. In fact, she sits on the front row. I really like her. Usually we only have ugly guys sitting on the front row. Now we got Maggie. Maggie is one of my favorite parishioners this high. So I've had a good day. But you know what? It's that receiving in Romans chapter 5. I want you to look at this last verse and we'll end here. Y'all ready to go to lunch?
Yeah.
Tired of all this preaching?
Yeah.
Listen, he's the only one being honest. The rest of y'all are liars. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. What is that? Receive the gift. What is that gift? That gift is righteousness. You've been reconciled to God. Man, there isn't a person in this room that should end up in hell. Amen? It's already been done. So why don't you just right now, everybody relax. Take a deep breath. You're either lost or saved, and you know what? You and God know about it. You want to be saved? All you have to do is receive it. You got it? Very neat. Hey, listen to me. It's a done deal. Already done. I mean, listen, let me tell you what. I can't tell you what your next 15, 20, 30 minutes will be like. You realize that somebody in this room might die on the road when they leave here? Wouldn't it be terrible to have come to a church that literally taught it, but for some reason you would not receive it? Wouldn't that be awful? All right, I've run you guys over. Who's going to take the preacher to lunch?